My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, a quick reminder, tomorrow, 7:30, on this very show, Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager, will join us live here on site. We're at Texans Training Camp. Seth and I sitting at the 50-yard line of the practice field. Fans lining up outside to get in. Should be an exciting day out here. Texans expected to conduct their first practice in pads. I will be interested to see if Joe Mixon is out there today. He was not out there Saturday. He was not out there yesterday. And he's been out 2 days in a row. So clearly this was not – Saturday was not a veteran's day off, clearly, because you don't do veteran 2 days off. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when asked about the absence of Joe Mixon.
Joe will be fine. Joe may miss a little time, but he'll be fine. Joe's one of the toughest competitors we have, right? So I'm not worried about Joe. He'll be fine. No issues there.
Yeah, the saying when he said he may miss a little time, that's where you know it's not just a veteran day off.
Yes.
And they don't have to disclose injuries at this point in training camp, but he dabbles in coach speak at times. I would imagine this is just like a little tightness or something.
Well, I can tell you something I saw with my own eyes. On Friday, Joe Mixon did media after practice. He went right after D'Amico. So he was waiting outside the tent. For those who don't know, there's a tent right next to the practice field, an air-conditioned tent that guys go into to do their press conferences. D'Amico usually goes first, and then they bring in three different players. Mixon was the first player to go that day. While he was waiting his turn, he was talking to what I'm guessing were a couple family members. They let family come down on the field afterwards, and the kids run around and stuff. He was sitting on his helmet waiting his turn, and he was rubbing the front of his right thigh.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just telling you what I saw. I'm not saying he's got a quad injury or anything. I just saw him. It was not like just a nervous rub. Like, he was clearly like kind of nursing something a little bit. So maybe that's what it was.
Hopefully, you know what? That sounds like it's muscular at least.
Yeah.
And it's early in camp, so.
Hey, when did the press conference? You know what I mean?
You know what, though? It was a little bit of just a reminder that, all right, man, okay. Of all the fervor and the excitement of all the additions, there are some things that you gotta remember. Okay, the Texans are they are rolling the dice on a 28-year-old running back,
they are,
which there's plenty of guys that play very productively. I'm the first one to I'm all in on Derrick Henry this year. He's 30, but there's also that concern that it's kind of a precarious situation at running back on the depth chart after Joe Mixon.
That's it.
So, okay, we still don't know what we have in Damian Pierce. Jawar Jordan, I think, is – like, Jawar Jordan's a smaller guy, and I like him a lot. he doesn't have that crazy athleticism that you typically see out of successful smaller backs.
Right.
But I think he can be used. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't think he's the guy that you want to replace Joe Mixon as your bell cow.
He can't be your safety net on practice number four
right.
at training camp.
Right.
You know.
So Cam, and they signed Cam Akers. Cam yeah. Akers is very much an experiment. Yeah, he looked fine out there running through drills and everything yesterday.
He did, yeah.
But he's coming off his second Achilles tendon tear.
Done one on each leg.
And he wasn't really that good after his first Achilles tendon tear.
That's
so
right.
There's nobody right now that you can really bank on unless it really clicks for Damian.
Yeah, that's the bit. And that, I think that's what they're hoping for, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been getting all the snaps with the ones. Dari got a couple yesterday. But if you're wondering where Cam Akers is in the spectrum of how this team or D'Amico Ryans feels about him, here was the answer yesterday when D'Amico Ryans was asked about the addition of Cam Akers.
We added Cam, see if he can compete.
Okay.
Yeah. There wasn't like another question that cut him off or anything like that. He just
artichoke-y.
He answered that question, then looked back towards the rest of the media assembled there.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, right. He wasn't cut off. Yeah.
Right, yeah. He just, that's about it.
Yep.
Akers had a weird odyssey. He came in his rookie year and did some magnificent things, and then but he tore his Achilles tendon the next year. Came back and played in the playoffs that year.
Tore it in camp,
right?
And was back for the Super Bowl
in 2021. But then in 2022, by midseason, the Rams were trying to trade him. Sean McVay had we have the audio here. This is Sean McVay in the middle of the 2022 season when asked about the whether they were trying to trade Cam Akers.
As an internal issue.
Okay, so
I'll keep it at that. You know, I'm not gonna, I don't have, I know you got to be able to ask me that, but out of respect for a lot of the things behind the scenes, there's probably a move that will be made in regards to him being with another team. If that doesn't happen, we'll move forward. And there's a lot of layers to it, but that's kind of where I'll keep.
So there was all kinds of reports of discontent over playing time or promises made, whatever it was. Nobody knows exactly what happened. But Sean McVay was out on Cam Akers. They ended up trading him successfully the next season in 2023 to the Vikings. And I went back and I looked at his highlights. Well, I watched the all of his carries in the Week 7 game last year versus the 49ers. He averaged on the season last year. He averaged 2.8 yards per carry.
Yeah, he was when the Rams traded him at rock bottom of his stock. When the Rams traded him, he had 22 carries for 29 yards.
Yeah, and then he went and he averaged 3.2 yards per carry with the Vikings.
3.6.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm looking
3.6.
at it right here. Yeah, 3.6.
So, but he averaged 2.8 on the season. But he had some nice explosive plays where he does his downfield cuts are really impressive when he's on. But he just hasn't been nearly the same guy since his first Achilles tendon tear. And now he's coming off a second Achilles tendon tear from Week 9 last year.
This is a lotto scratch-off,
man. This 49ers game, so I put some of the highlights on my YouTube video as I was talking about him, and a lot of people were like, he still looks pretty good. He had 30 yards rushing in that game.
Yeah.
He did some good things as a receiver in that game, but I think he's purely an experiment at this point. You can't rely on him.
Yep, I totally agree with that. Stephon Diggs spoke to the media yesterday. We've got a few here from one of the newest Texans. He's been a big talking point out here with the way he's interacted with his teammates, the way he's looked on the field. He's looked really, really good when he's had the ball delivered to him by C.J. Stroud. And leadership's been a big thing with Stephon Diggs, too. Here's Stephon Diggs talking about his leadership.
I mean, I guess, kind of like around, 14, when my dad passed away, you kind of learned. A lot of sacrifices going in, a lot of, mentorship even from your younger brothers kind of being the man of the house. But as I grew as a young adult until now, just that's always been one of the focus of mine, bringing as many people with me. No matter how much success you have, I always try to bring as many people with you. And, you won't dim your light at all shedding light on anybody else, especially with these. They're real special. So out here just grinding and competing at a high level is one of my main focus.
Yeah, and he talked about at one point, getting to know everybody on the team. He likes to know the middle name of everybody on the team.
That's a bold move, man.
That's a pretty good. It doesn't seem that bold when you realize that CJ has different handshakes and dances for every single
bold.
Player
that's
on the offense.
That's super impressive.
That's a lot of memorization,
dude. That's super impressive.
But he, I think people in Buffalo would say the same thing. He's great in press conferences, unless something's up.
Agitated.
Yeah. So I'm not worried at all about the chemistry or anything else like that, as we've talked about all offseason long. But I think that, like everybody in life, like it's complicated. And I think there's a lot of people in Buffalo that still very much talk about how great he was in the locker room, how he was as a competitor in practice, what a good role model he is for the younger guys. I don't think we're seeing a new and improved version of Stephon Diggs or anything. I think it's simply that the relationships have grown stale in Buffalo between probably the head coach and Stephon Diggs, between the coordinator and Stephon Diggs, and then ultimately between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
I'd love to know what they're saying up in Buffalo, because my guess is they are seeing the glowing reports of Stephon Diggs down here at camp,
yeah.
In large part because there aren't many camps to cover right now.
Yeah.
The Texans and the Bears, and I think now the Ravens and Chiefs, all kind of have the spotlight to themselves right now. The Texans were the first team on the practice field out of the entire NFL. So there's plenty of content out there right now about those teams that are practicing. I wonder if they're saying the same thing about Stephon Diggs that we would say about, say, James Harden when he goes to Brooklyn and it's great for the first month and
yeah.
He's in shape and the Nets fans are all like, see, it's going to work, and we're like, just wait.
Yeah, with Harden, it's okay, wait until the playoffs. Yeah. It's
just wait until the regular season and Nico and Tank are getting all the targets.
Well, no, I'm talking about with Harden. I would just say wait until the playoffs. That's the thing with him.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, great. Okay, you're going to be one of the best teams if it goes. Sure. Thumbs up.
Yeah,
I think that, like, those first 2 years in Buffalo, there were Sports Illustrated covers with, you know, Stephon Diggs doing a piggyback on Josh Allen. Yeah. It was like there was nothing but roses.
It's a honeymoon.
Yeah. So I don't think that. I think, honestly, most people in Buffalo are probably like, oh, it's a one-year contract. Yeah, that's you won't have any issues. It'll be fine.
Here's Stephon Diggs talking about his quarterback, C.J. Stroud.
It's a work in progress. I'm not going to say everything is perfect, but you see us kind of getting on the same page here and there. And, you know, nothing's going to be perfect, you know. I starve for it, we grind for it, but getting on the same page, play after play, and that communication, that open line of communication, I feel like that's going really separated, seeing that we have such a small period of time. But this isn't my first rodeo, and I'm not by no means, I get that title, I'm by no means reinventing the wheel. You know, this is the same football we've been playing since we were five, and seven is special. I think everybody kind of knows that. I must reiterate it, though, because I see it firsthand, you know what I'm saying, and taking it play after play and building. You know, so it's a work in progress.
In the middle there, he had asked for a towel.
Is that what that was?
Okay. Yeah, he asked for a towel because he was sweating
so much. Yeah, I remember him getting that towel.
I think the relationship between him and the quarterback, it's like all these other guys have had a full year with C.J. Stroud. They've had all those off-season workouts, and Stephon Diggs has had some of those off-season workouts. But the big thing with, you know, I always go back to Tom Brady, who's now a mentor to young C.J. Stroud.
That's right.
I loved watching Tom Brady practice, the few limited opportunities I had to watch him in practice. And then just from watching, you know, other, you know, footage from when he was with the Patriots, Tom Brady was just the best wide receivers coach in the league. And so much of it was about exactly how you're going to respond to this coverage, what's your body positioning, all of these things that lead to those balls that should be 50-50 catches, except no, it's actually like 3 millimeters to where it's a 70-30 catch.
Mm-hmm.
And CJ's got that in him, and I think Diggs is going to appreciate that. That, frankly, CJ just operates on a higher level than Josh Allen when it comes to ball placement and just football IQ.
Dude.
I think Josh Allen in his press conference in mini camps this year was talking about needing to get to a certain point when he's talking about adjusting to coverages and things like this, that frankly, CJ is already there. And that's the thing that gets frustrating with wide receivers is, you know, yesterday Diggs was talking about, Landry had asked a question about Cole Beasley. And Diggs was saying that, yeah, Beasley and him used to just, they wouldn't argue about who was getting the ball. It's who got the most separation.
Yeah.
You know, and who should have gotten the ball because I had more separation or whatever.
That's a good answer.
And it's one of those things where it's not about the total targets or anything like that. It's when the offense isn't being the run the way it's supposed to. And I think the majority of time with wide receivers, it's not, if the offense is operating the way it's supposed to, unless you're a genuine diva, you understand that you're not going to get the ball every time. It's when you're wide open and you were the read, and yet the ball's going into double coverage somewhere else.
Josh Allen had issues.
It happened with the Bills last year. Yeah. Josh Allen was forcing the ball downfield when Diggs was wide open. That's what gets really frustrating.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, you're kind of laying out Josh Allen there. Like, C.J. Stroud and Josh Allen might be polar opposites in every way.
Yeah, because Josh had like ball, he had accuracy issues
that
he had to work on.
Ball security issues.
Yeah.
He uses his legs a ton.
Yeah.
CJ uses him in a break glass in case of emergency situation. And I think football IQ and everything, like it's an adjustment in a good way for Stephon Diggs. I think he's a much more receiver-friendly quarterback that he's playing with now.
Yeah, yeah. That's just one of the little things. We don't know until they play the games and all that, but I'll be really surprised if there's any kind of undue drama or excessive drama.
Me too. Here was Stephon Diggs. He's been going up against Derek Stingley quite a bit. That's been fun to watch during camp here. Here's Diggs talking about Derek Stingley Jr.
I actually think Sting is, and I won't even, you know, shake when I say that, I think he's one of the best DBs in the league, you know what I'm saying? Especially from talent level, and he can fast, he can run, he can break, and he compete at a high level throughout his career. So for me, just going in each and every day with a mindset of getting him better, like not only competing one-on-one, yeah, I want to do you in the worst way, but it's out of love, you know what I'm saying? And even the young Lassner is, as they say, bringing in a guy that's ready. He could be ready, you know what I'm saying? He might even be ready right now. He's a guy that's, you know, takes it day by day, technique, sound, seeking knowledge, and want to compete at a high level, and he ain't running from it. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about junk to him a little bit, you know, just to kind of get him going, and he's right there. He's standing 10 toes down, so something that you like to see in young players is that confidence. So just to see those guys day in and day out, not even just them, just all the DBs. I had a conversation with him like day one and day two. They're like, anything y'all need from me, come holler at me. Just like you said, like, I've been this way, you know what I'm saying? As far as, like, this isn't nothing new to me, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people see me for the first time, but I'm trying to get better. I want to be better. I want to be the best me, but I'm bringing as many people as I can with me. Like, those young kids are special. Like, you know, this young team kind of see a lot of potential in, but it kind of starts just in practice.
10 toes down, by the way. It's like when you're totally committed to something.
Yeah, 10 toes down.
I use that all the time.
You do?
I say, yeah, I'm 10 toes down on this. I didn't have to Google that at all after the press conference.
Oh, you hadn't heard that before?
No, I've never heard 10 toes down.
Really?
That's an actual expression.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah.
I thought it was a song lyric or something.
No, I feel like D'Amico's used it before, or somebody with the Texans has used it before. I haven't heard it till recently, but I had heard it one time before, one or two times before. So that was Diggs on Stingley.
I think you're claiming cred that you don't have.
No. I've heard 10 toes
like
down.
I've been saying 10 toes
no,
down.
No, I have been, but not for all that long. I'm a little bit of cred, just a tiny bit of cred.
When he was talking about going at Lassiter. In one of his other clips, he's talking about how he used to, you know, tell him, like, hey, yeah, I'm just, it's all good. You know,
I want to, what did he say in that cut there? He's like, I want to do you like crazy, but it's all out of love or something.
Yeah.
I've tried that line before. It doesn't work. It works better for Diggs.
I'm 10 toes down on you, babe.
10 toes down.
I'm about to do you like crazy, but it's all out of love.
I want to do you like it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
Except for mine.
Out of love.
Out of love.
It's not even, it's more for you than me.
Never worked for me. Until I met Amy, and then she loved that line. She thought it was great. Stephon Diggs definitely acclimating to his new teammates. Have you seen this, that Jordan Love is not going to be in Packers camp until he gets a new deal? Does this make you nervous as a Texans fan?
No. Because
Love is a Mulligetta guy.
No. The last David Mulligetta client that was involved with the Texans who was a quarterback looking for an extension after his third season was Deshaun Watson, and he got it.
He got it.
They did it. Reportedly,
oh,
at one point, they basically had to explain the basics of contract negotiation to Jack
the
Easterby.
Guy they were working
is
with.
What I was told.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Now,
still.
That's a good point. Deshaun didn't get his contract until, like, Labor Day weekend.
Right before the season.
Yeah. And he... Now, that was the COVID year, too. What would it have looked like if Deshaun decided to hold out during the COVID year?
Do you remember... I don't know, but do you remember just how tearful... And how much love he expressed for the McNair family. And
at the contract signing?
Yes.
Dude, that was a ceremony. They were bringing his family members in on
Zoom. It was like, this is your life. That's right. They had his whole family on a Zoom call one of his aunties there and everything. Yeah.
It was going to be a marriage made in heaven.
It's one of the most touching moments I've experienced in sports.
Yeah.
I just thought there, boy, this is the purity. When you can just sit there and... You know, feel the purity of getting hundreds of millions of dollars and then just knowing that within 3 months he'd be requesting a trade.
A trade.
And then later to be over a dozen allegations of sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it does not get any better than this.
No, that's the classic Hollywood story right there.
Yes. Couldn't have, you couldn't have written that.
Couldn't have scripted it any better.
You genuinely couldn't have scripted that, man.
No, you couldn't have.
And you bring the Deshaun Watson story to a Hollywood producer, and he's like, nah, this isn't, people never buy this.
Whatever. Oh, yeah.
What's he going to do? What's the finale? Oh, he goes up and sucks in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
You're now, like, okay, yeah, people might like that.
So
people might like that.
The team that traded him away is now considered one of the best teams in football. Okay. By the way, the Texans 6th on the future power rankings on ESPN.com. They were 32 3 years ago. They were 29th last year going into training camp.
Oh, Sean. Last year, we'd been through it already, so it wasn't a big deal. It was just that the biggest thing that bothered me was when Caserio traded the Texans' own pick to the Cardinals, and people were so emphatic that it was the dumbest thing ever because obviously the Texans were going to be the worst team in the mm-hmm. league. How could they possibly not understand that they were going to be the worst team in the league? You idiots. You fools.
Right.
Doesn't Morons. Everybody know that they're going to be the worst team in the league? Which is always, I wasn't even sensitive personally over that. It's just dumb in general. It's actually kind of hard to pick the worst team in the league.
Right.
It's just like trying to pick the, it's actually easier to pick the best team in the league.
You could have picked
the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Although that was a little dicey there during the regular season. They didn't look like the best team in the league during the regular season.
No, you're right. You're right. But like last year, I don't think people would have picked the Panthers to be
the worst team.
Picking first again.
Well, Bryce was going into an ideal situation, Sean.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Without even really being able to point to why, he was going into the best situation, mostly just because it wasn't the Texans.
I'm paging down to find the Panthers on this stupid thing here that ESPN did. There's the Giants at 29, Panthers at 30. With their quarterback a year in are at 30 on these rankings.
The Panthers did at least... You know, they bolstered up their interior offensive line. They're realizing, okay, yeah, we do have a tiny, tiny quarterback. We got to be sure he's not getting pressure up the middle. The problem with Bryce Young is that he's not going to be able to see over those really good offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So standing in the pocket, I know. Listen, people, it matters. Okay, it's some shorter quarterbacks, they figure out ways to overcome it. But you have to do it with incredible timing, rhythm, accuracy, or athleticism. He doesn't have incredible athleticism whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm very, very pessimistic about Bryce Young's future in the NFL.
Do they punt on him after this year if he looks the same as he did last year? If he has
if the right situation exists. Would they draft a quarterback?
That's what
I
mean.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Would they do like old what's-his-face from the Cardinals? Or Josh Rosen. Would they Josh Rosen him? Yes.
Yeah, I think they would, too. You got to move on.
I hope he comes to the Texans.
Now, that would be fun.
It would.
Yeah.
He's good friends with CJ.
He is good friends with CJ.
CJ would be, like, giving speeches about how we need to be nice to
Bryce
Young.
That'd be like a punishment for Bryce Young, like, every day as a reminder.
He's had a gilded childhood.
He has. They
stacked the S2 cognition in his favor.
He did?
All of that. Yeah. That test is biased towards Bryce Young. That's what I say. There's a bias towards...
There's a height bias.
No, think about this. This S2 cognition test. Yeah. There's whatever the cognitive assessment and the stuff they run through. Bryce Young's dad is a psychologist.
Yeah.
You think he doesn't know a thing or two about assessments and how to prepare his son for these things?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's like having the prof as your old man.
S2 cognition test.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What was done? Who had the bigger disappointment last year? Was it the S2 cognition test or the University of Colorado football team? What was a bigger letdown?
I would say the Colorado football team.
You think they pooped their pants more than the S2 cognition
big time,
test? There's a lot of hype about the S2 cognition test.
There was, but they were taken down by one man. Colorado was systematically dismantled by the entire Pac-12.
That's true. It was a week-by-week process.
Yeah, the S2 cognition test just got kind of unlucky that CJ was so good.
And yet Colorado is back to being everybody's Super Bowl, according to Shadur Sanders.
I made a bet with a buddy of mine yesterday, my buddy Ivan. He's a big Deion Sanders guy. We bet $50 a game straight up all the Colorado games this year. Just no spread, just straight up. So if they go 6-6, no money changes hands. If they go 5-7, I win $100.
Yeah.
He thinks they're going to go 10-2. And he's probably listening right now.
Why does he think they're going to go 10-2?
Because I don't know. And Ivan's a really smart fan. I don't know. He thinks they're going to go 10-2.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he's going to be right.
I'm telling you.
I don't know.
He feels like Deion's got it all figured out. I'm like, Deion had half his team leave.
I'm not saying they can't go 10-2, but just to be confident that they could go 10-2.
Oh, he's confident, dude. I should have bet him that. Like that, I'm giving him leeway by doing this $50 a game thing.
Is it he just believes in Shadur Sanders so much?
I think he's a big believer in Deion, the power of Deion.
Yeah.
I think he watches some Deion motivational tapes and stuff like that, probably, if I had to guess. Yeah, Ivan, if you're listening. You know you do. So, yeah, $50 a game, straight up.
The problem with Deion, and like, he was incredibly good at, you know, because obviously he has recruiting skill. But in the SWAC, he kind of like, I mean, he was loading that team up with guys who belonged at
Colorado.
Premier programs, Power Five. I mean, so it was the classic college coaching thing, which is, man, if you're a really good recruiter, you don't actually have to be. You don't have to be the Newt Rockne as a coach or what have you. So he hadn't. He's very good at instilling discipline and all that. But it's just a different game now that he's in the Big 12.
Yeah, in the Big 12, and I think a lot of people year one at Colorado were able to look at the positive side of the transfer portal from a Deion Sanders standpoint, because he didn't have to experience the negative side of it, which is if you alienate players or they don't like your style or they feel like they are better served getting developed somewhere else, they're going to leave.
Right.
So for year one, everybody's like, look at this guy, work the portal, man. Because nobody had a chance to leave yet.
Yeah.
Now guys have had a chance to leave, and you go, okay, well, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away when it comes to Deion Sanders.
They took hardcore this year for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
10-2. Okay, Ivan.
10-2.
Let me see about this.
God.
It makes me nervous. It's a weakness of mine, Sean. I'm a sucker for when somebody shows extreme confidence. I'm like, well.
And Ivan would sell you on it, too.
You know something maybe I don't know. I got to be careful here.
Yeah, you might have met Ivan before. Ivan would sell you on it, too. He's got a pretty magnetic personality. He probably have. Yeah, you'd be in Colorado gear by the end of the day if Ivan got his meat hooks into you. Tank Dell was on, sitting in the very chair that Aaron Raybould, our engineer, is sitting in right now, the other day with In the Loop. I love stuff like this. They asked him, where were you when you found out the Stephon Diggs trade went down?
Reaction to the Stephon Diggs trade. What was that like for you when you found out that news?
You know, I've been had the inside scoop. You know, first off, Diggs is my brother, so we've been chopping it up. Before it even happened, you know, me and CJ was actually in LA, and we was just talking about it. Like, just he just asking me questions like how I feel about it. I'm just like, let's do it. Like, yeah. You know, it ain't gonna do nothing but make everybody better around us. So, you know, I was ready for it. You know, I didn't really like too much. Like, I wasn't scared of it or anything like that. You know, I see people saying like it could hurt me and hurt what I had going on, but I don't feel that. So, you know, because I'm a hard worker, and I feel like the work I put in is gonna show and display. So,
yeah, the way I could look at it is from like a defensive lineman's perspective. There's never a defensive lineman that thinks like, oh no, they got another good pass rusher, because it opens up things for you. Even if you're thinking about it selfishly, yeah, okay, aside from how good it is for the team, that opens up things for me. That's more opportunities for me one-on-one. And I think likewise, that's receivers, again, if everything's functioning the way it should on the offense, that just creates more opportunities for you. And that's why I say with this group of receivers, thinking about a specific yardage goal for any one of them, that doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense, because that's just going to come down to, like, in whichever game plans it kind of works out for whom. But when it comes to actual opportunities for yards after the catch, for touchdowns, for all those things, for yards per reception, it loosens things up for all three of those guys. And that feels good. Like, I don't... If all you're looking for is I got to get 1,500 yards receiving, like you can get 1,500 yards receiving theoretically, where it might not even feel that good because you got targeted like 190 times.
Yeah,
you're not all that electrifying. I think there's going to be just way more opportunities for just getting that really good feeling of, oh, I got this guy one-on-one, and I know I'm going to beat his ass.
Yeah, Devontae Adams had 1,300 yards last year. Ask him how that felt.
Yeah, how'd it feel?
Right?
He was trying to – he almost fought Jimmy Garoppolo on the sideline.
Yeah. No, that's a great
point. He almost
pulled
a Tanya Harding on him, I'm guessing.
It's a great point. There are two groups of people that hate that Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan now: opposing defensive coordinators and fantasy football owners.
Yeah.
It made it a whole lot harder to figure out which Texan receiver to draft or when to draft him. Because they have all three met with the media now. And I don't know that Diggs said it yesterday, but I know Tank said it. I know Nico said it. And I think Stephon Diggs has said it before too. Like, hey man, there's going to be games it's a Tank game, and there's going to be a game where it's a Diggs game.
Yeah.
I think they've all accepted the reality that the back of their football card, their game log this year, for each of them, is probably going to have three or four games that are two catches for 28 yards.
So will they, as a group, on those guys, do you think they'll actually be drafted in fantasy leagues below their level?
Yes.
I know, like,
100%.
All three of them will be drafted below where typically a guy his skill level would be drafted.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, we were debating this before practice a couple days. I think the Saturday practice, because a few of the people in the media out here are in a league with me, and we were just kind of – we have an auction league, and we were kind of debating, okay, what's the price going to be for each of – like, a marquee receiver goes for, like, $35 or $40. And we were kind of at a point, like, I can't see spending more than – you have a $200 cap to spend to fill your roster. And, like, I can't see spending more than, like, $25 on any of these guys, because I don't know the – it's not so much the total numbers at the end of the year. It's the inconsistency week to – I think there's going to be big swings each week for these guys.
It's like buying a fancy vehicle when you only have a two-mile commute and you're away on the weekends. You're like, I just don't know if I'm just not going to use it that much.
Right.
I just don't – what am I going to get out of this? Yeah.
But every now and then you have to go to Beaumont.
Yeah.
And you just open it up on I-10. And like, oh, okay, I didn't know that was going to be the weekend that I was supposed to open it up and get 200 yards receiving. So
you're going to get a low mileage lease on these guys.
Yeah, that's exactly
what you have with Tank Dell right now, hopefully.
Yeah.
A low mileage lease. You're not paying a whole lot for it.
No, you are not. No, you are not. This was pretty cool, too. This was on In the Loop yesterday. Azeez Al-Shaire was on with the guys yesterday. This is a really cool story. They asked him if he had any Lane Kiffin stories, because he played for Lane Kiffin at FAU. Do you have any Lane Kiffin stories? And he actually segued immediately into a Monty Kiffin story. Monty Kiffin, Lane's dad, his late dad, just passed away in the last couple of weeks, who was a Hall of Fame-level defensive coordinator and got a Super Bowl ring with the Bucks back in 2002.
I never forget, we were sitting in the office one day in the summertime when the players didn't have to be in there, but I was always up there, and he was always up there. He mm-hmm. loved football. Obviously, everybody knows that. And we just sitting there watching film. It was a Jacksonville Jaguars, just looking at all that old Cover 2 stuff that mm-hmm. he helped create.
Tampa 2.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just remember we sitting there chopping up, we talking, and I'm just telling him about all my aspirations to get to the NFL, make it in the league. And I remember he had his Super Bowl ring from Tampa. And we sitting there, it was the most, like, it was very intense conversation, like very emotional, I guess. And we started crying. We got so deep in the conversation with each other. I never forget. He took off his Super Bowl ring and he gave it to me. And I had that Super Bowl ring for my junior year of college. I wore it every game, like to the walk. I had it all the way until my rookie year, the week of the Super Bowl. I went to Super Bowl as a rookie in San Francisco. We played in Miami. I remember that. But we getting down there is when I gave him back his ring.
Damn.
But it was just one of the coolest things. That's somebody, I'm from Tampa, and yeah. know who he is, and then to be around him. And he's like family to me. His whole family is like family to me. So it just was like just the coolest thing. So, you know, I really just, you
That's
know,
an endorsement.
Without a doubt, without a doubt.
That's
just,
an endorsement.
Just have so much respect and love for him, and you know, definitely miss him for sure.
Dude,
that's wild.
You know, Alshire, like, honestly, when you listen to him in press conferences, not yesterday's as much as his introductory press conference, he's a deep thinker, dude, and he's like an old soul. There's a scene, the audio isn't good. I tested it because you need the captions for it. But when Mike Evans was mic'd up one time, Alshire approached him when Tennessee was playing Tampa. And
okay, so this is last season.
Yeah, and Alshire said to him, he went up to him and he said, "Hey, I'm from here. I grew up homeless. We had to live under a bridge, and I just love what you've done for this team." And there's like something along
those
lines.
Saying that to Mike Evans.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
powerful stuff.
Yeah, man. Like he's been through some stuff, man.
Yeah.
And it does seem like almost when they ask him about leadership and talking to younger players and everything, it almost seems like, yeah, he wants to talk to guys like on about life as much as football.
Well, that again, another area where he mirrors D'Amico Ryans that way. You know, D'Amico Ryans, an NFL head coach, was asked at his introductory press conference, "Why'd you get into coaching?" And he went for two, 3 minutes about how molding young guys, turning them into better husbands, turning them into better people,
yeah.
things like that. You can see where Azeez Alshire would connect with a guy like D'Amico Ryan.
He said,
so
"Hey, well. Hey, bro, I'm from here, born and raised. I grew up homeless in my life. Oh, I swear to God, I've been watching you. I was like a kid. I used to stay under a bridge, bro. And I think basically thank you." It felt like he was like thanking him for being an awesome player for the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, well, he's probably done a lot for the city too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's probably
I bet he's actually done like homeless outreach stuff
maybe.
And everything. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Good job, Mike Evans,
yeah.
too.
How about Monty Kiffin giving a college kid his Super Bowl ring?
A Super Bowl ring. That's what I'm telling
Belichick's
you.
Who the hell? Letting Putin borrow
his. He doesn't have that
Kraft.
Many Super Bowl rings.
Kraft gives his to Putin.
It's from a movie like where he's like, "I wish you were my son."
Instead of Lane Kiffin.
Have you seen this Joker? This is a kid. You seem like a kid that I would have actually enjoyed being a father
Lane
to.
Lane Kiffin standing right there. Hey.
This is like in Gladiator when Marcus Aurelius tells his son that he's not going to be the emperor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lane.
Yeah, he did not like that.
No.
I've seen Gladiator now. I can get
that's
that
right.
Reference.
You saw it, finally.
I saw it. When you made a Gladiator reference and then you were shocked and appalled I hadn't seen it. Rightfully so.
Do you apply it to your own life now?
Gladiator?
In moments, are you, Do you ever think, like, what would Maximus do?
No, you're
still hung up on Tony Soprano.
Still stuck on
good
Caddy.
Job, good job.
Still stuck on Caddyshack. What would Chevy Chase do?
Probably a key of Coke and then...
What would Ty Webb do in this situation? He'd do her. That's what he would do. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Fans getting ready to file in out here at training camp. And it should be a lot of fun. Pads out here today for the Texans. Up next, Colin Cowherd gives Nick Caserio props. We're going to have Caserio on tomorrow at 7:30. I know he doesn't care about Cowherd's opinion, but gave Caserio props in a very strange way. Is this a way that Texan fans feeling this compliment here for the Texans GM. That is coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.